here. Amen. Oh, y'all, we are here to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the King who
pre-existed by the Son, was sent by the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
Amen.
Amen.
And our worship reading together, because we have a shepherd who has gone before us, and since we are his sheep, let us read together Psalm 100 in the NIV. Read it.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, this morning we are glad to be your sheep. In your pen,
Amen.
Feasting in your pasture.
Amen.
We are glad that the ruling Christ, the Messiah, is Jesus, the one who came, who walked this earth, lived like us, but more importantly, he obeyed everything that you called him to do. And because of that, he was the perfect sacrifice so that we could be in right relationship with you, each other, and all of creation. So we come today with thanksgiving. We say thank you for saving us. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for comforting us. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for all you do. We cannot say thank you enough.
Thank you.
Because there's so much more that you're even doing right now. We praise you and we thank you, for it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. You know, it's our anniversary month, so we have to blow the dust off and sing the songs that have helped glue us together over all these years. Whose house is this? Whose house is this?
This is your house.
See, Chris, that's the conference I gave you yesterday.
Good morning. I just want to do a couple reminders. Wayne County is having a job fair, which is going to be April 28th from 10 to 1. It's on our site, so just make sure you go to the site. And there, Wayne State will be hosting a resume workshop, and that's going to be April 24th. Also, don't forget about the Michigan Road to Restoration by the Secretary of State. As I said, they're having one in the Down River. You need your license restored. So, April 26th for Down River, and then the one, they're having another one for Detroit. So this, all the information is on the site. And don't forget to check the programs for the kids. DAVSET, I'm going to be reaching out to Math Corps at Wayne State. Math Corps, I believe it's 6 through 12, and I think the high schoolers, they pay them to be like tutors as they learn. And that program is solely done with all the mechanical engineers at Wayne State University, and it's free to our kids. So I will be talking to their coordinator tomorrow to get the information about that. And then also this week, Dairy Queen is doing an 85 cent blizzard. But you have to download the app, and then they'll send you like a code, and you can only get one. So, but it's going to be for this week only. And those are your announcements.
Hey, y'all. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, that's all I can do. I'll work on that.
Okay. All right, so really quickly, the flyer that I do have, I did read some of this last week. So Saturday, May 6th at 9 a.m., there will be a annual prayer breakfast, 41st annual prayer breakfast to support the Circle Y Ranch. And Circle Y Ranch is a Christian camp in Bangor, Michigan, whose goal is to reach children and teens for Christ. And we all know how bad our kids need Jesus. All right. So on Saturday, May 6th at 9 a.m., there is a breakfast. Pastor Janice Tate is going to be their speaker. And there's going to be a soloist there. And there's going to be food.
We all have food, right?
So this is going to be at Berean Chapel of Detroit. Again, it's on May 6th, so that's a couple Saturdays from now. So if you want information, I have the flyer here for you. You can take a picture of it. Also, again, happy 20th anniversary to Running for Christ Ministry. Yes, 20 years. Amen. So there's, you know, it's really just no secret that we do a wonderful love offering. So I have these really pretty envelopes with these really cute stickers on it. They're right there on the table. If you would like one, who doesn't like stickers? You know, it's either Sharon or somebody made this look really pretty. Whoever did it. There's a letter in here and everything, just so you can read, so you fully understand when you give this love offering what you're doing. Amen. So I have those if you would like to give. Every Tuesday, Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio. Again, if you don't want to listen, but you want to watch him, he records it and puts it on YouTube. So if you want to do that, look, it's good stuff, y'all. Y'all know him, because to a lot of y'all, he's family.
Yeah.
Okay, but if you're somebody like me on the outside before Running for Christ Ministries and you heard him, you like, but he's very intriguing, and the information that he, like, he goes there. Yeah. Okay, so if you're not listening or you're not watching, please bless yourself on purpose. Amen? Right. So Bible reading class is on Wednesday. I believe we're doing Daniel chapters 11 to 15. You got questions, Pastor?
No, it's supposed to be Hosea.
Hosea, okay, we're in the book.
One to seven.
You just finished.
No, right, it's not my book either. So.
Yeah, I think that's Kathy.
Cat Cat. Yeah. She missed the church a lot. I don't have to call her. I'm just saying, do you have questions? Are there questions? Do we have questions?
We don't need to
Okay, so when the questions come out, Pastor O will put them on the church website. Yes. And if you're on his list, you'll get an email. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There we go. Friday, Kathy's class, Bring Back the Family, is on Blog Talk at 7 o'clock. Talking about the kids, so get in on that discussion. I believe Sarah said she had one more teaching class.
Yep.
And then she'll be graduating in a couple weeks. One more assignment. April 30th. Yeah. Graduation day. Davenport University, the Grand Rapids location. Sunday, April 30th, 2 p.m. No tickets are required, so if you want to go, please support. Everything that we do here is recorded, archived, and free. When we're in person, Blog Talk, classes, services, whatever we do is recorded and it's free. Don't forget to check out the church website, rfcm.org. Avetrius has put all that stuff, has been uploaded on there. Jonathan is always uploading with jobs. I'm trying now to remember when I get resources to send you those too. So let's skip some stuff. So we're going to have altar call. We're going to have the prayer list coming up. I did want to add Reese. She was in the hospital yesterday, but she did text me and told me she got home yesterday. So, amen for that. Again, Brother Ed, Deaconess Lisa, Keila, we had all of our mothers here. Mother Irma did go home. She wasn't feeling well. But we was 4 for 4 with our mothers here today. Amen. Let's see. Somebody who might not be on the list. Bernard Sumner, your friend, your best friend, had a stroke. How is he feeling? How are things progressing?
He's coming along. He can't talk.
Okay. But he's here.
Thank you all for the prayers to
our Amen. Amen. And so I did get an announcement. Mr. Charles Alexander passed. He's a former member of the Church of the Resurrection. So his homegoing is this Friday, April 21st. Mm-hmm. 10:30 a.m. is the family hour. 11 a.m. The service begins. And this is going to be at First Baptist Church, 3827 15th Street in Ecorse. And Pastor Overall will again be bringing another eulogy. Amen. Yeah. So just keep the family. Favorite thing now. So just keep that family lifted in prayer. Also continue to pray for Pastor and Sheila and Crystal and Sierra and the Norwood family. Dwayne's homegoing service was yesterday. It was beautiful.
Yes.
And so just continue to keep them lifted up in prayer, because the days ahead are probably going to be a little bit harder than the days that have passed. Amen. Birthdays. The only birthday I got is Nedra on the 12th. And let's see.
She turned
18. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's just 18. Wow. I know she's a senior.
She's graduating.
She's graduating this year. Yeah. All right. Okay, so last but not least, I just have like a little snippet of a devotional. So let me see which one I want. Okay, here's a good one. Prayer is meant to be a lifestyle, not just an event. Prayer is meant to be a lifestyle, and not just an event. So we don't just pray when we need something. We pray all the time without ceasing, because that's what the word says,
right?
Very good. Amen.
Amen.
Those are your announcements. I'm trying to get back out this way.
All right, stand to your feet. It's offering time to grab your envelopes.
Yeah.
death. And he told us to rejoice in the Lord. So we have our altar call time. You can be seated so you can cool off a little bit. All the names that are up there and more on your hearts. Sarah's going to lead us while she's praying out loud. We recognize that we do this together. There is something about when the people of God pray to our God together that he hears it even better. Because he said, with the two or three, agree on earth, it is so. So remember all these names as we pray.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you always for the opportunity to be able to sit in your face and allow you to pour into us, Lord. Allow us to endure what we have to endure, Lord, in order for us to get it is what we need from you, Lord, and allow us to also be able to look to you every time we need you. Allow us to deny ourselves and allow us to also be able to just come up under you hastily so we know immediately who to go to and not go to ourselves, Lord. Allow us to be reminded of the Good Shepherd. And Lord, remind us of who is master in our everyday lives, Lord. Thank you again for the grace that you give. And we ultimately thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that you gave on the cross. As we celebrate our anniversary, Lord, allow us to remember how far we've come as a group, Lord. And allow us all to continue to bless each other with our words and with our speech and with our acts, Lord. And allow us just to continue to open up and allow us to walk together hand in hand so that we know that we are together, Lord, in you. Continue to bless everyone on the altar call list, Lord, whether it be grief, Lord, or whether it be recovery, Lord, or whether it just be a mental space, Lord. Anybody that's not on the altar call list, Lord, allow their mental space to be blessed by you and allow them to be blessed through someone else for you. Mm-hmm. Lord, thank you again for just allowing us to wake up and breathe and move and have our being, to be able to go into our refrigerators, Lord, and be able to get into our bank accounts, Lord, to be able to drive and put gas in our car, Lord. Thank you for just fresh air and no rain. Lord, allow us to enjoy the little things that you give us because you gave them and because we did not give it to ourselves. Lord, thank you again for every journey that we go on, Lord, and allow us to understand that if it's not of you, that is not our destination. Lord, allow us to continue to turn and to know who is our guide when things get rough and when things are fine. Allow us to be able to sit up under you to learn discernment and wisdom and patience and all of those fruits that need to be manifested on a daily from our vine.
Yes.
Lord, again, thank you for being you.
Yes.
And we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 You know, even though our God is omnipresent, it's one thing when you are in the room, but it is one thing when you inhabit the room.
Yeah.
He's present with us in the midst of every situation. He's right there. He promised us he would never do what?
Leave us.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, if you believe it, while you're singing this song, remember, he's never going anywhere. He's always with us.
Thank you.
understand who the king is and that the king is here and his presence and his kingdom are here.
Yes.
These aren't just words to a song, y'all. It's the truth. Because everybody sitting in this place can testify that they've been through something this week. Something this week. Doctor visits, sick beds, hospitals, bills, work, life, shootings. We were shooting right around the corner from us the other day. 40 shells lay on the ground. We didn't even hear it and weren't even affected by it. Hallelujah. Tell me his presence isn't real.
Hallelujah.
So when we come into this house, don't just come into this house, this is what we do. Come into this house recognizing who we are.
Yes.
Amen. Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sister Deaconess June has given me another opportunity to practice.
Amen. Excellent job.
You do good.
Excellent job.
All right, let's see. We are delighted to enjoy in-person services again in 3D. I'm so excited. In accordance with Psalm 118:26, we bless you from the house of the Lord.
Okay.
And Psalms 122:1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Pastor's sermon is titled, Continuing the Work. He has asked me to read Acts 2, verses 42 through 47,
okay.
That's Acts chapter number 2, verses 42 through 47. And it reads as follows. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people.
Amen.
And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
Amen.
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 This is the word of the Lord. Let us prepare to eat a feast as our own shepherd and obedient messenger of the Lord, Pastor Gerald Marshall Overall, to preach from the book of Acts, to teach us how the apostles continued the work after Jesus Peretz.
Yes.
So repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Break it down for us.
Break it down for us.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Rebecca. Appreciate you. And don't y'all let me forget today. Okay, when I get through, hold your hand up. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for giving us yet another opportunity to consider what you said in your word. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that after we do that, make that consideration, that we make the positive move toward doing what you said. Father, we just don't want to be those people who sit in these pews and chew, and that's pretty much all we do.
Mm-hmm.
We want to do like those apostles did after you left, Jesus. They got busy and they evangelized the whole Roman world in just a short period of 30 years. And so we want to be able to do the same. But help us to understand how they did it so we can do it. In mm-hmm. Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
So they hear your word.
And bless my heart.
And bless my heart.
To that it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts they're not like yours. But I'm here today to change the way that I think. So I can always know what your good, perfect, and pleasing will is for my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. 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 God has had me quite busy. Amen. I laughed at Janice talking about, I don't know how you can teach three classes in a row. It's two on Saturday and then jump back up and do it Sunday. And one weekend she even had to preach on top of it. But how many of y'all know laughing is catching? Yeah. Amen. I'm scheduled up so far I don't even know what's going on no more. I have so many sermons jumbling around in my head. I don't know which one I'm getting ready to preach sometime. But today is a sermon that I love to preach. I love to talk about this because I get to go back to 2002 when the Lord came to me while I was at the drag strip skipping church and I was about 100 miles an hour. And the Lord said, this is what I want you to do. I was so happy, Rebecca. You know why? You know why, Ian? Because I thought he was talking about drag racing. Amen. John, I thought he meant, this is what I want you to do. And so I said, what did you mean when you said, this is what I want you to do? He said, I'll tell you on the way home. So you know what I did? It was about 90 degrees that day. And so I went up to the line. I saw the second night, like, y'all know how a Christmas tree look? Not Christmas tree, but drag race.
Yeah.
They have two lights at the top. One is pre-stage, one is stage. You move a little bit forward, one light come on, you are pre-stage. You have to wait till your opponent light the second light, light his light. Then both of y'all are pre-stage, then you can move in. Once somebody moves in, you got 7 seconds for the other person to move in or they get a red light automatically. Once you are both fully staged, there are three yellow lights. Each one of them have a half a second timing before the other one comes on. So you wait till the third yellow comes on and you stump that baby to the floor and you take off and go. But because I wanted to hear what the Lord said, I clearly saw Mackie the second yellow and stumped it. And then I looked to the left, saw that red. I said, I guess we're going home, Jesus. You can go ahead on and tell me what you want. I literally did that through the race on purpose so I could hear what Jesus had to say.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And on the way home, I just knew he wanted me to set up a tent because that's what I told Sheila. We're going to get a tent. We're going to get us some little handout stuff. And while I'm racing, you can hand out stuff, tell them Jesus lives, all that good stuff, and running for Christ, right? Everybody at the track knew, running for Christ. They didn't even call me Reverend, they called me runner. Amen. And would come up and tell me, I'm saved too. Amen. So I thought that's what Jesus wanted to do, but it turns out he wanted to do runner for Christ ministry. So over a 6-month period, he kept telling me what he was going to do. And I kept telling him what I could not do and did not want to do. And I even told him, I'm not doing it because I'm going to mess it up. You're going to kill me. And then I'm out of here, so I ain't even going to start. I don't even go to church right. I'm literally skipping church now. You're talking about you want me to be a pastor. That ain't happening. So what happened in January, I decided to go ahead and do what he said after 6 months of talking. And in January, I decided maybe I'll offer up to the Lord something other than what he asked for, and he'll be pleased with that. You remember when Abraham and Sarah got a little tired of waiting, and they said, oh, this is God's plan. So Abraham slept with Hagar from Egypt, and now they got a son. This is it. But that wasn't God's plan.
Amen.
Amen. They hoped it. Abraham said to God, Lord, when the Lord came to him and said, that ain't my plan. And the boy was about 13 years old, and Abraham is now 100. Okay, he said, Lord, no. Go on and accept Ishmael. How many is Sarah? Sarah 90, I'm 100. How are we going to have a baby? Come on, Jesus, please. But God said, no, Sarah will have a child. And you're going to, since both of them laughed when God told them they was going to have a baby, So God got jokes right, right? He can talk back too. You got jokes, I got jokes, right? Name the child Isaac. How many know what Isaac means?
Laughter.
And so every time they looked at that child, they remember, we laughed at God when he said we could do this. Amen. If God tell you to do something, it's not about you. It's about what God is going to do. Amen. I remember how much I panicked, and the Lord said, remember Moses panicked? And what did I tell him? The Lord said to Moses, why are you panicking like that? Why are you crying out to me? When the Lord first asked me that, and I'm like, are you kidding? You done brought them out of Egypt. They don't know how to fight. They don't know where they're going. Now they're at the Red Sea, and they come Pharaoh and them. And you asking them why they panicking? What's up with that? But God had already given Moses what he needed to fix stuff. He said, see this rod that I gave you? With this, you're going to affect the power of God, the will of God. And Moses had forgot that. And when he remembered, then he held that thing out. Amen, all night long. So I tried my best to get out of this and offer up to the Lord a ministry. And we started doing a ministry. It was Jonathan's mother who came along and taught us how to do that, because we were doing that wrong. Because I ain't supposed to be doing ministry. I'm hiding out in ministry, so God will get happy with that. You ever try to make God happy with something that God is not happy with? God has clearly called you to do something else, but you're trying to offer him something else because you're looking at the impossibilities of it. But God specializes in the impossible. It's impossible that sperm from one person entered another person and it created an individual person with fingernails, with eyes, with hair and all this other stuff that these bodies are made of, and that person is not those people but from those people but a total individual. That is a miracle. Every time I look in the mirror, I see what God can do, and I'm encouraged by that. Why? Because I look at the impossibilities of life and the things that I cannot do, and when I look in the mirror, I know that God can make it happen. Amen. So the Lord did not accept my offer of Ishmael. In other words, another ministry. Because I figured if we just do giveaways, then he added a Bible class, and then, amen, next thing you know, 2003, April 3rd, Running for Christ Ministries had our first service.
Yes.
And when we had our first service, well, nobody ever, me and Sheila, right up until about 10 minutes before the service, so I went in the back room, Ed, and I let the Lord know. I told you. And you tricked me into doing this. And now I'm here embarrassed. The whole city know I was trying to start a church. And ain't nobody here. I told you. Then I came out the room from telling you. And it was 25 people out there. I'd be like, well, geez, you know how I play a lot. You know I'm silly. You know that. You know I be joking. He let me go. Amen. But I do that. Have you ever told Jesus, I told you? You know, but you act like you don't even care. You know, and you ever get to crying because something is going on, but then you didn't cry before and you say, Jesus, this ain't gonna even change. I don't even know why I'm crying because you ain't gonna miss it. You don't care how much tears I'm drowning in here. And you still don't care, but he cares. He cares. Amen.
Amen.
And so Running for Christ Ministries began in 2003, and that's the story. That's it. It's God did it. I didn't even want to do it. I definitely didn't want to be no pastor. I had Pastor Barlow. Some loved him, they hated him. I had Pastor Brown. Some loved him, they hated him. I had Pastor Davis. Now, all three of them, some loved him, they hated him. I had all three of them, and they were all three different, right? But the people still hated him. And I mean, people would call Reverend Brown right after the service. We in the office, the phone ring, and I could hear them because they talking real loud. And you know them old phones with the wire, you can hear that thing like a speakerphone. Hey man, they like, you got a lot of nerve bringing me up, bringing my business up in your sermon. He like, who is this? And which part of my sermon? Because you know Reverend Brown, right? He wasn't going to take a whole lot. He wasn't going to take a whole lot before you get told something. Okay, as soon as I... Amen. So I ain't never want to be no pastor. because they didn't like, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter what you like. They don't like you. And they will worry you to death. Yeah. That we used to have customers in our business that we wished would cancel. We had literally raised their price so they would cancel. But they, oh, I'm going to pay it. And then they talk crazy every time you show up. They ain't never satisfied. As soon as you get home, your phone ringing. Where did you put on my line today? I'm like, we left you a material application sheet. Did you read that? Now, what'd it say? Or, I ain't seen no step on the ground. It rained. Did that wash it away? I'm like, we told you to water it in so the rain can't wash it away. You sure? I think you need to do it again. If I do, you're going to fry your lunch. Amen. So I ain't want to be no pastor. I ain't want to be no business owner. But Jesus keep doing stuff. He don't listen to me. And it's like he don't even hear me. I'm like, I ain't doing that, Jesus. Next thing you know, I thought you said you wasn't doing that. Well, shut up. Amen. That's what I don't say that to Jesus. I say that to the people who I told I wasn't doing that. Like I told people back in the day, I ain't never working for nobody ever. I put in 38, almost 40 years. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus keep doing stuff. Amen. But I wasn't going to work. I don't know how I could even say that in Bob's house. Y'all don't know Bob, right? That's my father. Amen. You go work up in Bob's house. If you go sit at this table and eat up my pork chops, you go work. You know, even if you and your brother sitting here eating like a baby pony, you better believe you going outside. Amen. He's taking the basement straight. You right up. When I got to be a man, though, and I had started pumping up the weights, we was over Stanley Garden. He had a weight bench. We was pumping them up, and I be walking like this. My father, one time I skipped school, got busted. My father stepped to me, told me, well, you go over there and take that garbage out. I said, I'll take it out when I get ready. Oh, amen. Wow. Yeah, when I got up off the floor, we was real friends. Oh, yeah, I like to say to people he knocked me out because that sounds better, like we was into something, and then he snuck one in and knocked me out, man. But what happened was he slapped me to the floor. Exactly. Right. He slapped me to the floor. I saw the head, Jazzy. I saw the head coming. It was hard and slowed down, you know? Pow! My mother and them was picking me up. I'm like, what happened? Don't talk to your father like that. I'm like, never again. I was the only one who ever tried that. They ain't warned me. They older than me. They ain't warned me. Don't talk to you. Exactly. I tried him one time. It did not work. He slapped me straight to the floor. I mean, it was like, y'all ever see Bruce Lee Enter the Dragon? When he fighting with your boy Han in that back room. Then all of a sudden, Lee get real mad. Foul! He just did that real super fast. That's what happened to me. I got humbled. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, I was on my knees. I said, Jesus. I saw Jesus for a minute. He said, go back. Woo, slapped the life out of me. Amen. Amen. How did we get way over there? Anyway. Amen. So I ain't want to be no pastor. I ain't want to have no church because I know the Lord. And I read the whole Bible a bunch of times. And boy, people get to screwing up. And it's a wrap. It could be a wrap for you. Okay? Now, God is super kind and merciful. But when you try to raise up on him, amen, you think my father slapped me down real quick. Amen. When I said I ain't never paying child support, please, he locked me up in DeHoko for 6 months, but he didn't leave me or forsake me. Amen. I'm like, well, then what am I doing here? Like, you the ones, I told you what to do. When you got all them show calls, letters, what did you say? Yeah, I can't even say it in here, but anyway, yeah, they got me. And I learned, because I didn't have to go back no more. Amen. I ain't had to show calls why they should not punish me for failing to comply with the order of court. That happened in the 70s. I still remember like it was yesterday. Amen. So what Jesus did with his disciples for 3.5 years, he did with me. He didn't spend but 6 months with me, but he had spent a bunch of years with me before that. And I used to wonder out loud to him, because I take everything to him. I rarely talk to people about my issues. I go to him because people really can't do it. I'm going to hear it. And then they go tell other people. Guess what, Pastor? Don't tell nobody. But guess what, Pastor Oak told you? And then the person they told don't tell nobody, they got somebody who ain't going to tell nobody. Guess what? Guess what John told me? What Pastor O said? Don't tell nobody. And before I come to church, I stand up here, everybody staring at me. I'm like, somebody told somebody.
Some great man.
Exactly, the grapevine. And then the story changed, you know. Pastor O say he want to be no pastor. By the time the story go around the room, Pastor O say he thinking about killing pastors. Where did that even come from? Because the story started out real simple, right?
That's right.
But then that baby started like a snowball. It just started grabbing stuff. Be like trapper keeper, just sucking up everything. Amen. So Jesus told his disciples he was going to do through them after that 3 years, because he told them, look, he breathed on them and said, be prepared. They didn't get it at that time, but be prepared to receive the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the only way Jesus was able to do what he did in this world was to be worded up. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we know that because when the devil came at him, he didn't cry. He didn't get depressed, stressed, get anxious, or none of that. When the devil got through saying what he had to say, Jesus said what the word of God said. Amen. Amen. Jesus didn't say, I'm Jesus. You know who I am. I'm the Son of God. I'll wipe you out right now. He couldn't say that. Why? Because as Janet's been teaching us, he was human. He had to do it like we do it. So when the devil approached him, he had the word of God. He knew the book of Deuteronomy, and all three of his answers came from that book. And after he had bust the devil's head up real good, the devil left him. Jesus knows each one of his disciples. He knows how much they can bear. Okay? Those who was able, who was intentional about knowing him, those who would step forward, are the ones you read the most about and know the most about. Okay. You know about Peter. Amen. You know about John. You know about James. Those were his inner circles.
Okay.
When you go to history to try to ferret out what happened to the other apostles after Jesus left, you can find it, but you won't find it in the Bible. You'll find it in secular history. And you can see what happened to all of them after Jesus left, where they went. How many of y'all know that Joseph of Arimathea went to England? And he built there in Glastonbury the first above ground church in the years 400, long before the Bible was switched into Latin Vulgate. Okay? But not many folks know that. That's not written in the Bible. Where you're going to find, and the ruins of that church are still in England today. Okay? He also joined a group called the Chaldees, who this man named Colombo formed a school over in Ireland. And Joseph of Arimathea became one of those called a Chaldee, which meant a certain stranger. But you won't find that stuff out until they left. So when I looked at what happened to all 12 of them and what they did, amen, and the work they did afterwards, that work could only be done because they were worded up. And you could tell Peter was worded up. In that first sermon that Peter preached, those verses that Rebecca read, okay, the verses that precede that is Peter preaching the first sermon in a born-again church. The first person to deliver the gospel message was Mary Magdalene to the unbelieving disciples, right? But the first person to preach a sermon in the New Testament church where people are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, was Peter. Peter didn't have one piece of paper, not one. He may have, as the folks, the Sanhedrin said over in Acts chapter 4, he definitely was ignorant and unlearned as far as they were concerned. And he was a fisherman. He wasn't like Judas. Judas was educated. Judas came from Judea. He was the only one that did not come from the north. Okay? But all that education didn't do nothing but raise up pride in him. And that's why God couldn't use him. He had his own ideas. He was smart enough to be on God's level and help God out.
Oh, wow.
But that didn't work out. Why? Because the devil knew he wasn't God and slapped him right to a rope got around his neck. He hung there till his body rotted. And then he just fell to the ground and all his guts bust out. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus knew his disciples would need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We talked about that last week.
Right.
He says, after the Holy Spirit comes on you. Uh-huh. Not before, because we see Peter before trying to know Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. How did that work out? He couldn't even remember his name three times. He was so afraid. So that did not work out for him, right? I know my wife having a fit. You coughed in there. You putting that thing on there. I ought to spray that. Amen. Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Amen. So he knew that they were... We've been married 37 years. In 37 years, you get to know each other. Man, I can hear, as soon as she saw that, I'm like, oh, Jesus, here we go. But I'm preaching so she can't say nothing. All the priests till Jesus get back. But anyway, amen. He knew they were going to need the Holy Spirit. If they were going, like he told them over in John 14, greater works, right? You're going to do greater works than the works you see me doing. What he meant by that is they wouldn't be greater than him, because previous to that he had told them, you're not above your master. Okay? It's good to be like your master, but you can't get above your master. Amen? And so Jesus told them, you're going to do greater works. And what he meant by that is the area that Jesus operated in was 284 miles in the promised land from the top to the bottom. It was 90 miles wide at his widest point. And that's as far as Jesus went. Galilee, Jerusalem. Galilee, Jerusalem, over a 3-year period. But they would take the word of God beyond Galilee and Jerusalem. They would take the word of God to the whole Roman world. But get this though, just like when God called Israel to be a people, all the other people around them were unsaved. They were surrounded by enemies. They were surrounded by people the devil could take and use anytime he wanted to wreck them. And let me tell you something, the devil will pick people who close around you to wreck you. Oh, the devil ain't gonna get nobody that you ain't gonna even listen to. I mean, Anthony, the devil ain't gonna get nobody that you won't listen to. You'd be like, who are you? Okay, he gonna get somebody that's close enough to you to affect here.
Amen.
So don't be looking for somebody, Joe Blow, because you don't know Joe Blow.
Right.
And you tell Joe Blow, you don't know me.
Right.
Of course, you're gonna resurrect the N-word.
Right.
So you don't know me. So the devil's gonna, amen, get people that, who did the devil use to attack the disciples? The Sanhedrin. The Jews, the Council of 70, their own people, followers of Christ who should have believed like they did, but they didn't. They had a game going, they had a thing going, and they didn't want that to stop. And when Jesus came, he had to die because he was interrupting it. He was interfering with their money. You remember when black folks shot Malcolm X and then tried to blame it on white people?
Yep.
But they shot him. What did they holler out before they shot him?
Get your hand out my pocket.
That's the same thing the Sadducees, the Pharisees, who had grouped themselves together, who really hated each other, but they had a common cause now. Get rid of Jesus. Why? He messing up our money. Think about it. If Jesus got all these crowds following him, do you think they're giving money to them? They're like, he got to go. The Lord wants us to get rid of him. The Lord said it. In Matthew chapter 24, he said, there will be those who, when they kill you, gonna believe they're doing the will of God.
Yep.
Have you ever heard somebody tell you something crazy and say, God told them to tell you that?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
God told me to tell you that. Seriously? Show me that in the Bible, or show me in the Bible where your statement does not disagree with what God has already said. When you talk to me, I want to hear the word of God. I don't care what you think. I want to hear the word of God. Even if you're paraphrasing it because you can't correctly quote the scripture, I know what God said. How do you think Jesus told Satan, amen, when Satan came up to him talking about, if you're the Son of God, if you do some work with that, some etymology to that word, if, you will see that he was literally saying, since you're the Son of God. Amen. But Jesus kept saying what? It's written. It's written. It's written. Man ain't gonna live by bread alone, but by every word that come out of the mouth of God. And it is not the mouth of God that's telling me to make bread out of these bricks. It's written. Jesus, they took him up on the temple, told him to jump off. Then you can prove to the people that you're the Son of God. Number two, God ain't told me to do that. And number three, I ain't putting God to the test. I wish I would go up on this building, Alicia, and say, Alicia, Jesus with me, watch, and then jump off. And then Alicia's like, he got blood all over my stuff. I just bought this. It'd be like Mackie saw a brain. Mackie was seeing brains on the freeway the other day. You know, you don't get enough of this on the freeway. The devil playing you like a big sucker if you're driving around in your car trying to text somebody or even be talking holding the phone. If it wasn't for the Lord, he would have killed you by now. The only reason you are alive after doing something that not smart, amen. Is God was watching over you. Amen. I see people can't even sit at a stoplight, but they whip that baby up and start. Literally. How y'all do y'all smartphones? What is that?
That's because you don't have one.
Oh, see, get you a real phone. Get a real phone. Flip that baby up and then tell Scotty to beam you up. Amen. That's right. Right, get stuck. That's right. Let that baby open up and then go deep, deep, deep. Beam me up, Scotty. Amen. So you get you one of these, try to text at the light. You'll be there for a week. So Jesus. Hey man, he knew his disciples was gone. He knew Jesus was going to be in a fight. He knew his disciples was going to be in a fight. He knew it, because this is the devil's world. I got this little thing that I sent out sometime. It's living for Jesus in an unchristian world. And we need to stop believing everybody's saved, because they're not. I think if Jesus said that in the book of Colossians, everybody not saved. No, and I ain't talking about people who come to church and have accepted Christ who we don't believe saved. That's nonsense. What I'm talking about is people who have never accepted Christ as their Savior. You might think because they're cool, because they ain't crazy, because they work, they got a house, a car, and some clothes, and they don't bother nobody. You might think they saved. No, they good people. I ain't going to deny that. But they ain't saved. And let me tell you something. Be careful, because the devil can use them anytime he wants to. Ask Job. Amen. Ask Job. His people was out keeping his flocks, right? All of a sudden, people who never bothered them before, the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans, rolled down on them and took it all. The devil, and we know that the devil was behind that because he got permission from God to do that. So he can take an unsaved person anytime he wants, somebody not filled with the Holy Spirit, and use them any way he wants to.
Yes.
And so Jesus knew that they were going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about I accepted Christ, amen, and I'm saved. That's good. But that does not equal to filled with the Holy Spirit.
Wow. Right.
Filled with the Holy Spirit says, in all my ways, I acknowledge him, and he directs my path. That's what filled with the Holy Spirit means. Now, it's impossible to be filled with the Holy Spirit when you don't know the word of God. Impossible. And the devil is good. he can't keep us out of church. We will go to church. But he is very good at getting us from 1 week to the next without opening the Bible. Without telling one person about Jesus. Without trying to teach anybody in Christ how to live better for Christ. While we're in this unchristian world. Oh, he knows it. He knows. Look, he follow you around daily. How do you think everything that happened to you seemed to be bothering you? Because he knows what bothers you. The devil watched you open up a letter and look at that look on your face. Are you getting a bunch of them letters? Why? Because if that letter twists you up for the rest of the day and you don't tell nobody, whatever the devil did to you last week to not tell anybody about Jesus, to not go to any Bible classes, to not teach nobody how to live better for Jesus, he'll do that every week. He don't care how you come to church and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. He don't care about none of that, as long as you don't tell nobody it.
Amen.
Okay.
As long as it's just you and the Lord, he good with that. As long as you keep your mouth shut. Look, he don't even want you to do 1 Thessalonians verse 11 and 12. He don't want you to lead a quiet life, so he make you run your mouth all the time. Okay? And be a busybody. Always up in somebody's business. Okay? Amen? He don't want you to lead no quiet life. He definitely don't want you minding your own business. That's why your mind always got somebody else's business on. That's why every time you talk to somebody, you ain't talking about your business, you're talking about their business. And work with your own hands. Amen. I wish I would let you work with my hands. If I'm sweating, if I'm sweating, I'm getting that money. Okay? And I wish you would walk up. My wife will tell you the worst time to come ask me for money, Ed, is when I'm out there pushing that spreader and they making me feel better. And I got my whole body drenched. My hat is sweating. It's dripping water. And here you just pull up. Talking about, can you let me? No, man, you lucky I don't let you have your eyes out on the ground. No. I can't let you have nothing. Amen. Oh. The devil ain't no joke. He will tear up stuff. All you got to do is go crack that door open. You're like a little mouse. Once he get up in there, he's going to drive you crazy. Amen. Because he ain't never going to stop. Every time you look around, what's that mouse? Amen. He'll be running all over your house. He will tear that up. He comes to do what? He'll steal your joy, kill your joy, and then destroy your joy. He'll make sure that it's just a three-step process. Take it away from you, not let you enjoy it, and destroy it. Amen? That's what he comes to do. He comes, and guess what? Here's the trick. He got to get you to participate in it.
Yeah.
He got to get you to come in on it with him and help him tear up your life.
Yes.
He has to get you to do it. He tears up marriages like they ain't nothing. You know why? Because he get the couple, amen. He convinced them, he steals their joy with each other. Okay, then he kills their relationship. They feel like they're in the same house with no relationship. And then ultimately, he destroys the marriage. But the only way he can do that is to get both people in the marriage. See, Sharon can't destroy Carmen's marriage. You know why? Because Sharon can't sign the divorce decree. Carmen got to do that. Amen? Okay. Isaiah can't destroy the marriage. Isaiah, like, I wouldn't do that no way. That ain't my thing. Amen. Plus, I'm on the phone anyway. I don't even know why you're talking about me. Amen. Carmen has to do that. She has to sign. When I got out of my first marriage, I thought I didn't have nothing to do with it. We ain't going to end our marriage because, hey man, I ain't even going. Well, I found out Michigan is a non-contest state.
Yes.
And you ain't got to have a reason. And the fact that you didn't show up was reason enough to go ahead and it was over. In 1980, I was all the way divorced. Amen. And the devil had to convince me and the mother of my children to do that. I don't use that baby mama term. Amen. Because they was a whole lot better than me. I was a deadbeat dumb dad. They was parents. Amen. Amen. So Jesus filled them with the Holy Spirit. Amen. They accepted Christ. They said, men, brethren, in verse 38 in chapter 2, what must we do? Because Peter preached a sermon, Holy Spirit went through the crowd, convicted everybody. Well, 3,000 of them. And when the Holy Spirit convicts somebody, they're going to ask you, how can I be saved? They said, what must we do? Peter said, believe in Jesus and accept him as your Lord and Savior, and you'll be saved. 3,000 people responded to that. But why was that book of Acts church so much different from the church that we have today? Number one, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Amen. Which was the teaching that Jesus gave them. Doctrine ain't nothing but teaching. It was the teaching that Jesus gave them. And what does it mean they continued? Why use that word continued? It seems like he was saying that they heard it, learned it, and then were continuing to live it. No, they continued learning it. Amen. They continued learning it. Yeah, y'all saw that. Don't tell on Mary. Don't tell on me. Don't snitch me out, Mary. Amen. Because Mary saw that. She's like, oh, he did it again. Amen. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. You know what that means? They went to Bible class. The first thing they did after they got saved was go to Bible class. They started learning the word. They continued learning the word. They continued in fellowship. You know, you got these kind of Christians today. They don't, I don't go to church. Nothing but hypocrites up in there. Bunch of lies up in there. I don't go to church. I worship Jesus. This is me. He like those Corinthian people who just believed in Jesus, but didn't like Paul who told them about Jesus. But they believed in Jesus, but didn't like the man who told them about Jesus. I don't go to church. The church is in me. Seriously. The church is in you. So how do you settle this in you? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, which is the custom of some of you. Now tell me why you don't go to church. I always challenge some people who say, I ain't got to go to church. Really? Then explain this verse to me. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, which is the custom of some of you. Explain that to me. Or show me in the Bible where Jesus said, you don't have to go to church.
I'll wait.
Show me where, I've been asking that question since 09. I haven't gotten the answer yet. They just say, well, some things ain't in the Bible. So a lot of stuff ain't in the Bible. So a whole lot of stuff ain't in the Bible, but what is in there is go to church. Now, why you don't go to Bible class? Study to show yourselves approved unto God. That part right there ought to move you to Bible class. And Bible, the most important Bible class you can ever attend is the one in your home alone with Jesus.
Yes.
Now, you go to Bible class and listen to your teachers like the Bereans did. Terrence like, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost in here. You go to Bible class like the Bereans did. Then you go home. You go home and you open up your Bible to see if what the preacher said agrees with the word. How many times have Jesus ever seen you check a sermon out that you heard to see if it was for real or not?
Yeah.
That shows him how unintentional you are about protecting yourself. You let people tell you anything. Like that nut job running around talking about ain't no such things as tithes and offerings. I listened to his diatribe for a whole hour. And I'm like, Lord, he is so wrong. Somebody need to straighten this mess out. And that's what ended up me writing this book I got. Biblical giving, tithes and offerings, New Testament tithes and offerings. What a question mark. Because he put a question mark there. He said, all the teaching I've done over 30 years, if you buy any teaching from me, any books from me, don't give it, throw them away. So over 30 years, you didn't know what you was talking about. In the last 30 days, you didn't figure it out. So I take the 30 days and throw away the 3 years. Really? Amen. All you have to do is open your Bible. It's all in there. Amen. The Lord would not tell us in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll show you which way to go. The Lord would not tell us with every temptation he'll show us a way of escape if it wasn't in the word. Where else are we going to find it? Being spiritual? So Jesus, as I come to a close, Jesus filled them up. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. See, that's that meme, right? The pastor say, I'm finna close. And then that one go, no, Pastor Cone. And then everybody, we was almost out of here. And you turned it up again. Okay? No, that's Sharon. Say, you can have some more time. Amen. So, they were filled with the Holy Spirit because they continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in personal and corporate prayer. They continued strengthening each other in fellowship so they could commiserate together about what they were going through. And one could tell a testimony of how this happened, but Jesus came through. They started sharing everything they had. This is how you know the word of God was changing them. And this is how we know they continued, because it continued to change them. They read the word of God and said, oh, wow, I can't be selfish. I own 15 properties and it's all mine. And homie over there ain't got one property and he hoping we have a fellowship meal. So what I'm going to do, you know what they did? They let the word of God go to work on them. And they went and sold some of that property, not all of it. And they brought that money and put it in the church. And guess what the church? They didn't put it in the pastor's pocket. They took it and distributed it to the people who were in need. By the time you get to Acts chapter 4, this says this. There was no needy among them. Because those who had hearts had been touched by the Holy Spirit took the little extra that they had over what they needed. And they gave it. And people... needs were met. That's how church works. Amen. And that's what Running for Christ Ministries is all about. That's why we don't have afternoon programs. We don't have concerts with Kirk Franklin. Ain't nothing. God called the church to do that. That's what he called them to do. But Running for Christ Ministries' sole focus is on making disciples. That's it. He don't want us distracted by nothing else. No church parties, no concerts, none of that. Amen. If we have a concert, it'll probably be over there in the auditorium and there will not be no church service. There may be an invitation to Christ at the end, but that's it. We're there for a concert. We're there to have fun. But to get people to come to church with a concert belittles Jesus. Because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw. But every time you hear a commercial, it's about who's coming. We got Kurt coming. We got Leandra coming. Oh, yeah, the pastor's going to preach a sermon about Jesus, too. But we got, come on down. Yeah. That's not right. If you can't lift up Jesus and draw people in, then, you know, all you're doing is, it's like Anthony. Got little Anthony a little while ago. He showed him something he wanted. He ran right toward it. Amen. Amen. You want him to come when you call. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for the birth of the church. Yes. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you expect from us the same thing that you expect from them. Yes. You expect us to continue in the apostles' doctrine. That is, Lord, to continue in Bible class, continue reading your word in church and at home. You want us, Heavenly Father, to continue in fellowship. We're not on the island. This is a fraternity. Jesus, when you taught us to pray, you said, pray our Father. So that means it's more than just one of us. It's a bunch of us. And Father, they continued in prayer. They continued how to communicate with you. And as I was taught by my wife, the acronym prayer, pray, is to praise you. It's to repent of the crazy things we've done in 1 John 1:9, that stuff. And then make our petitions to you, ask. And then, Lord, the most important part, is that we yield. We're willing to say yes to you with what we have to do to get you to do what we ask. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that they continued in prayer. They continued in breaking bread from house to house. They no longer were selfish and self-centered, but they began to think fraternally about the people around them. And they went and sold all that stuff you gave them, and they shared with those who were in need. They met and ate together. They fellowshiped together. They had communions together. And nobody thought that anything they had was their own, but they shared everything. Everything was held in common. And Father, when they did that, they got what you said we would get over there in 1 Thessalonians verses 11 and 12. They did the quiet life thing. They did the mind their own business thing. They worked with their own hands. And Father, the Bible tells us they got the respect of all those who were on the outside. And you added to their number daily those who were giving their lives to Christ. And so, Lord, if we do it like they did it, the same thing would happen for us today. But the church has turned away, Jesus, from telling people about you. All we want to do is have church parties, breakthroughs, give us a house, a car, the clothes, and the money, and we'll praise you forever. That's all we want. We don't even want to know you because we ain't cracking that Bible up to get to know you, because if we're going to get to know you, you're in the Bible. Yes. But we don't read that. We all just a bunch of hearsay Christians. We just heard somebody say something and we started talking it. But we never did know it for ourselves. We never sat down with that Bible and heard you say it. We don't like being one-on-one with you, Jesus. We love corporate so we can front. But Lord, we want to sit in front of you at home by ourselves, turn the stupid phone and television off and just let you talk to us. Let you explain these words like the Bereans. They went home and searched the scriptures to see if what was said to them was true. We don't do that, Jesus. We go home and say, amen, Pastor Joe preached today. But we don't know if he lied to us or told us the truth. We just accept it. Help us, Lord, to be those disciples that you called us to be. Help us to be just like that Acts church, verse chapters 1 through 6. Help us to have that kind of effect on the communities that we live in. Lord, I love you, and you know I do. And I know this people loves you too. In Jesus' name, we pray and give you thanks for everything you do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Before I run away, okay, I need Mary and Rebecca to step forward. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 6, look you out among you. And they were looking for several men who they could turn the duties of caring for the members over to them. Because the apostles had been doing everything. And they were horrible at seeing to the people's needs. And they had allowed racism and division to enter into the church. And so Jesus sort of politely fired the apostles and preachers from handling the distribution of food and turned it over to what we call today deacons. But they said, look you out among you. Okay? And so as I looked out and Jesus showed me them, I chose them. Okay? But they have to come before you. Why? Because you ultimately will choose them. So consider that you have looked out among yourselves. He said, for people who are known to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And appoint them over these things. Rebecca and Mary both regularly attend church and Bible class. Regularly. They both regularly study the Bible at home. And you know them to be that way. So I ask you, do you accept as candidates for ordination to the office of deacon? Amen. God bless you. God keep you. At a later date, we will come back along with them and some others. Ordain them as deacons. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God keep you.
All right, so.
Amen.
There is no other.
May the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide him for now and forever. Let all God's people say,
amen.
I love you to the top.
You got that?
It's not all.